stories from around the corner.
And around the country.
You're listening to All the Best.
Proudly supported by the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
You're listening to All the Best from FBI Radio 94.5. I'm Madhura Prakash. Before we get into our stories, I want to take a moment to acknowledge that I'm recording from stolen Gadigal land and pay my respect to Gadigal elders past and present, and recognise the area that I'm recording in Redfern, has long been a place of storytelling, strength, resistance and resilience for First Nations communities. This week, we're going to be bringing you stories from a gathering of comics and cartoonists that took place earlier this month in the intimate quarters of Knox Street Bar in Sydney. This event was part of an artist-run project called Read to Me that celebrates Australian graphic storytellers. This is the first time since COVID that we were able to get down to a Read to Me event, so we've invited a special guest to help us introduce the episode. So, special guest, can you introduce yourself?
My name's Evie Hilliard, and I am an illustrator, comic artist, and one of the co-producers on Read to Me.
Awesome. Yep. So this week we're going to be sharing some stories that were read live at a Read to Me event. So Evie, what is Read to Me?
It's essentially when a bunch of storytellers or artists get up on stage and they read a story, and behind them there's a projection of art or comic panels, and it just goes in sequence like that.
I can kind of have a sense, given your background, what drew you to Read to Me, but what's your Read to Me story?
Well, I got asked to do my first ever Read to Me back in 2017. I had been going to the events for years. I love them. As a comic artist myself, it was really good to see a community that celebrates that. So I got asked to do my first one, and I thought that was the pinnacle of my entire career. Like, I was like, I've made it. And since then, I've been asked back to do it a couple of times as a regular. And last year I was asked to be put on the producing team, which is so cool.
Clearly, you know, you got bitten by the bug. What is it about the vibe of Read to Me that kind of keeps bringing you back?
I love bugs. I love being bitten by the comic bug. What comics do differently to written media is obviously the pairing of visual images with words, right? But what that does is that you can easily write a sentence like, you know, the ant went over to the apple. But if you pair that with something that's completely out of context to what that is, it changes the story completely. Mm. The two of them together, visuals and words, kind of form this relationship that changes meanings and offers an interpretation that you wouldn't have already thought of. I love comics. I've always loved comics. I don't like the superhero kind of comics. I don't like the linear form of comics. What the comics that I like are very personal and a lot of the time autobiographical. And it's not just a sequence of somebody getting up and going to work or whatever. It's a story that you can see very personally, and you see this story through the eyes of the person that drew it. So it really puts you there. And I think that that's an experience that you can't get from any other medium. The thing that's important about hearing the voice from the person who drew it is that it becomes so personal. It's a story so personal to them. You know, you write something down and you draw it, that takes hours. Like the story that I'm going to read, I ended up probably spending, you know, upwards of 30 hours just drawing it, right? So you don't just do that for fun. You do it because you've got something to say. So saying it out loud to this group of people, however many are in the audience, becomes like a really good release for yourself as well. And I hope that when I've been an audience member, I feel it. I feel like the love and the attention that people have put into their stories and their visuals, and each reader has their own visual style. So for me, I'm a cartoonist, so I work in comics that are very much more like cartoon based. I grew up on SpongeBob, if that's any indication of the kind of work that I do. But we also have poets that are also have not drawn professionally or anything and they just had their work up. A lot of animators as well, that storyboard artists and concept artists. So there's a huge variety of different kinds of visual storytelling that's happening. But also what's important to note is the community that goes to these events, because it's a really tight-knit community, but also completely welcoming. I've brought friends along and, you know, I've been busy behind the scenes, and these people just bring you under your wing, and by the end of it, they're asking you to go get dumplings with them. It's great. And everyone's just really passionate about it. Like, when you grow up and you go to high school, you go to uni, and you really like all of these things, like comics or cartoons or stories, you sometimes don't really know where to put all of that, right? You don't know where your family or your community is, and this is where it is, right? And when you go to one of these things, when you go to a Read to Me at Knox Street Bar, which is a small bar, and we're all just crammed in there, the energy in the room is just so positive and just so full of people who are supportive of the arts. And I just think it's when you're in there, and I don't want to sound pretentious or anything, but I just feel like it's magic, and it's magic that we can share, and that's just the best kind of thing to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh my god, I need to get to one of these events. Oh my god, I really love that. So where can people find out more about Read to Me or see some of your work?
So I would say follow us on Instagram. So the handle is readtome_, because we couldn't get Read to Me without the underscore. But you'll notice that it's on the first Tuesday every 2 months, and it's at Knox Street Bar. And if you want to see my comics and you want to know when I'm doing my next Read to Me, you can follow me at Yeeves_, which is Y-E-E-V-Z_, because I also couldn't get Yeeves without an underscore. And I'd love to hear what you have to think.
That was Evie Hillier, co-producer of Read to Me and illustrator. We'll be hearing Evie's story very soon, but just to add in that if you would like to see the visual component along with listening to the stories that we have coming up, you can go and do that on our website, www.allthebestradio.com. First up, here's Millennial Falcon, written and read by Evie Hillier.
I've been thinking about the internet lately. I've been nostalgic for what the internet was before it got packaged up in our phones, when I would spend my summer holidays sweating in a computer chair. I remember I would spend hours on the internet on websites like RuneScape, where I would just walk around. I refused to use magic to teleport because magic is for cowards, and I enjoyed the low-poly scenery. Anyway, what else did I have going on in my life? I wouldn't just wander the one website. The internet used to be a place for exploration. I would type in anything random as a URL and just see where it takes me. I'd type in something like coolpikachus.com, which naturally took me to something like, cool, Pikachu gets pegged by Officer Jenny. Because let's face it, the internet was and still is mostly porn. But sometimes I would find something magic. Nowadays, there are like 3 websites. The internet I spend hours on now is on a few apps that are designed to make me feel bad about myself. And I know how I sound. Kids these days only want to play on their dang iPads. In my day, we would go outside. Outside our rooms. Into our dad's computer rooms. But I swear, to all Zoomers, it's not you. It's me. I've officially aged out of the youth demographic. I'm 28. It's a weird liminal age where I'm not considered young by younger people. Like, the girls in the most sacred space of all, the bathroom at the pub, say things to me like, wow, you could pass for like 25. But I'm also not considered old by older people. And it's as confusing as it is harrowing. Trends that were the norm growing up have come back into vogue. And worse, I feel myself digging my heels in about things changing. I refuse to download TikTok or watch Reels. I prefer my media static. I mean, I make comics. They don't move. and I don't like anything wireless. No, I actually like detangling my headphones each time. It's good. It's mindfulness. It's good, actually. And there are too many Star Wars now. Now is the part where I meant to do a Jar Jar Binks impression, but I haven't rehearsed it, so I'm going to give it a go. Misa has consumed too much media. Still doesn't feel ever quite right. There's this bit in The Simpsons where Grandpa goes, "I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was, and now what's it seems weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you." And it's happened to me. Even Simpsons references are considered cringe now. It's just hard to keep up. And I think that's what's catching me in a freefall kind of crisis. I can't keep up. Not with technology. I'm not using the cloud. I don't even know what the cloud is. All words, like the word Riz, which I still don't really get, but I feel like if I have to ask, I shouldn't be using it. But also with life. I feel like I'm busy all the time, but when I get to the end of the week, I have no idea what I was busy with. Time passes in a blink. My birthday was in July, and I feel like it was a month ago. Summer is my favorite time of the year. It's the season I look forward to the most, and I plan to go to the beach as much as humanly possible. Yet, at the time of writing this, it's halfway through December. And at the time of drawing this comic, it's almost the end of February. And at the time of this recording, it's late March. And the reality that's dawning on me is that it's not going to ease off. Einstein has this thing called the theory of relativity. You know Einstein, that guy that no one ever questions? Why do we all know whatever E equals MC squared is? Why does everybody know that? Surely Einstein did other stuff. So why did I, as a 7-year-old, need to know that? What does it even mean? Energy equals mass accelerated squared, okay, and? Could Einstein teach me how to drive? Is Einstein afraid of a benevolent god? Anyway, sorry. Einstein came up with a theory of relativity, that time is relative to your frame of reference. When you're a kid, say 4 years old, and your mum is talking to one of her friends at the grocery store, which is probably the most social interaction she's had in months, that conversation feels like it takes up hours because those 5 minutes are at a higher ratio to the total time that you've lived. So when you get older, 5 minutes becomes faster as it's relative to your accumulated time. Now, I spent a lot of time on drawing this as part of the comic, but halfway through I realized that that's not what the theory of relativity actually is, but I don't know anything. I don't even know how to poach an egg, so I shouldn't be knowing anything about this. Anyway, it just feels like as soon as I reached my mid-20s, I was thrust into hyperspeed, like the Millennium Falcon, to a destination that I'm not ready for and that I have no choice in. What people have always called the prime of your life is coming to a close for me, but I don't feel any older. And there's still so much I want to do. But I also desperately want to do nothing. I don't think I'm actually nostalgic for the internet. I'm not nostalgic for Neopets or Club Penguin or Adventure Quest. And I'm certainly not nostalgic for lolcats. I picture the last lolcat asking, "ICANN has one last cheeseburger," as the vet brings out the big green needle. I think what I really miss was when time went slower. What I miss is spending time by wasting time and never feeling like it was wasting time.
That was Evie Hillier reading Millennial Falcon. Next up, we're going to take you into Knox Street Bar to experience the vibes of this event. You'll hear the Read to Me co-founders, Gabe Clark warming up the audience, and Finn McCabe delivering his new story, The Blue Whale.
One thing we need to do is test the audio for Journey over there, who's on the sound booth. And to do that, I think we should go through the emotions that you're all going to experience tonight. So I reckon you might cry. Yeah, that sounded pretty authentic to me. I have never felt so moved. That's such method acting from you all. Thank you very much. Now I want you to laugh, because you're definitely going to laugh. Wow. Amazing. Again, genuine, authentic method acting there. I really felt it. Felt genuine. It was amazing. And then the other thing you might do a lot is sit in awkward silence. That's not silence. That's perfect, perfect. And the other thing you always should be doing, and you will do a lot, is cheering and clapping. So I want to get your best cheering and clapping practice. Go now.
So I'm going to talk about my dog who died, but it's not that story. It's a different story. It's the same horrible tragedy, though. When our dog died, the kids were beside themselves with grief. I was too, but seeing them like that was unbearable. I vowed then that I would never put them through that again. I love you so much. I vowed that our next pet would outlive us all. I vowed that our next pet would be truly worthy of my children's love. And I vowed that that pet would be a blue whale, because I'm a really great dad. Our property in the city was simply too small, so I immediately put it on the market. My partner was surprised at first, but she soon came around to my way of thinking. Why? Just tell me why. What the fuck? She was a little more reluctant about buying a cheap property out in the middle of nowhere. I'm leaving with the kids. Blue whales can grow up to 30 meters. We'll need the space. Fuck you. The money I made teaching wasn't going to cover building expenses. Now I have a mustache and I comb and oil my hair. So I quit my job and moved into finance, where I quickly climbed the corporate ladder. Show me the money. That's from a documentary. It turns out blue whales are actually endangered, so acquiring one wasn't so easy. And a quick Google search actually turned up a few other unanticipated issues. They weigh a lot, for example. A blue whale's tongue can weigh as much as a full-grown elephant. To be clear, the tongue is not a little elephant. I thought that at first, but another quick Google just dispelled that idea. They eat a lot, too, about 4 tons each day. To be clear, they don't eat trucks. And you know, I'm just going to keep going. I'll just assume you guys are with me. I reminded myself that I was doing all of this for my kids and hired a team of pirates to do whatever it took to get me that whale. It took less than a decade to complete the construction on the whale's enclosure. And when it finally arrived, I breathed a sigh of relief at a job well done. The divorce had been messy, so I wasn't surprised when my call to the kids rang through. I wondered what name they would pick out for the whale. I pictured them squeezing me tightly, telling me I was the best dad in the whole world. The end.
That was Finn McCabe reading his story, The Blue Whale. If you'd like to see the beautiful visuals that accompanied Finn's tale, you can find the graphic version published in the upcoming edition of the Suburban Review. The material for this event was recorded by Journey Green, with mixing support from Ramon Bryant. In our final story, animator Tom takes us on a galactic journey of self-discovery.
Hi, my name is Tom. I am a freelance animator and I like the beach. This is my story called One Special Star. There is a very special star in the night sky. It's usually one of the first to show up as night approaches. If you stare at it long enough, with strong focus, concentration, and the right level of steady breathing, you will travel there. It is really, really, really far away. Even further than from here to there. You'll think every thought you've got on the way. You don't have that many. What if God was one of us? What if sausages on the bus? Ah, holy hell, this place is even further than here to there. Your clothes strip off along the journey. Once you arrive, you can find respite and solitude. Inside, the smell of menthol and a blurry haziness consumes the surroundings. The lighting is pleasant, though it would be difficult to read a menu. Here, time is loosey-goosey, is time-time-goosey, is loosey, time is time, loosey-goosey, time is. There is the sound of down-tempo electronic music playing, but it sounds like it's coming from an underwater house party a block away. The soggy notes are sliding off a little. Is this still the same song? You dance to it, but you move one limb at a time, exploring the reach of your body. Notice how each part influences another. Your brain swims freely around your body. Your inside liquid is fizzy. The only shame here is that there's nowhere to sit amongst a sea of slanting angles. Although you're welcome to try. From one side of this star, you can see an exceptionally pretty view of the other stars. You love it. Even though most of the universe looks like this, and you don't need to travel this far to see it. You can take a standing flat escalator to the other side. Along the way, the walls are lined with stories of the origin of the universe, but you can't bear to look at that stuff right now. Because now, the space stretches on forever. You may ask one question to the eternal void. Will I ever get married?
Maybe someday.
Also, how dirty can I let the air fryer get?
No more questions.
In the bathroom mirror, you can see every thread of your being, from your beginning to end, all at once. The line stretches far beyond you on either side. Look at that growth spurt. You can stretch out so thinly, weaving into the surroundings further and further. Blending. It is the feeling of your life to come. But you can't forget who you are. I am late for Gary's 40th, and there's someone you must care about. Gary! So it is time to go, but only for now. Because you're still in the middle bit, unbearably present. Apparently, you can only think of four things at once. And so, as you make your impact back into the earth, it is now oof, ouch, owie, and yowza. But soon after, you're just hoping to live a life so entwined with those you love that one day they can come to that special star with you.
That was Thomas Crow reading One Special Star. A huge thank you to our contributors and the Read to Me team for sharing their stories with us. We cannot wait for the next event in May, and we hope to see you there too. If you have a creative community whose stories deserve to be broadcast far and wide, we'd love to hear about it. Reach out to us at www.allthebestradio.com. All the Best would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we make these stories and pay our respects to elders past and present. All the Best is made at FBI Radio on Gadigal land, in association with SIN and 3RRR on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung lands, and ACCC on Arundi and Warramungu lands. The All the Best editorial producer is Mel Bakewell. and Phoebe Adler-Ryan is our executive producer. Our social media producer is Isabella Lee, and our social media assistant is Seth Emmerich. Patrick McKenzie is our community coordinator, and Janae Madden is our content assistant. Shining Bird composed our theme music, and Annie Hamilton designed the artwork. We're heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network, and were made possible by the Art Gallery of New South Wales and the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find our full archive of more than 500 episodes at allthebestradio.com. I'm Madhura Prakash. Thanks for listening.